Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Blooming Girls Podcast, and I am your host, Tony Sunny. Yes, my voice is sounding very husky. I literally just woke up, and whilst I was, you know, musing, I realized that, I have an idea, and I just wanted to record quickly. It's literally 6:30 a.m., but I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get this out. So, how are you doing, first of all? I hope you're well. How's your week been? If you're in Nigeria, a cool subsidy. Like my Yoruba people will say, a cool subsidy. And everybody's been asking, so like, what are you giving up this season? So if you're not Nigerian or if you don't live in Nigeria, you probably would not know, but there's currently been a big change in sort of our life or ecosystem or government rules or whatever. I do not explain it, but basically they have decided to remove subsidy on the fuel which you were having. So that means that the prices of fuel have fuel, anything you want to call it, has increased. And obviously this is affecting a lot of people who obviously use like public transportation, Bolt, Uber. You know, people are really rethinking if they really have to go somewhere and stuff like that. So it's interesting. And obviously this has led to another increase in, you know, prices of, you know, stuff. Anyway, I think it's all, God has got us. At the end of the day, we'll be fine. For some reason, Nigerians, we just have this very interesting resilience to not complain, just move on. And, you know, I mean, I see it already. People are already adjusting. But anyway, that's just that. Anyway, it's well with us. On another note, so today's topic is relationships. As well, on the topic of relationships. So I typically do not talk about relationships just because, I don't know, it's just one of those things that I'm not a big person on. I love love, but I just rarely talk about it. But today I'm going to talk about an aspect of it. So I'm sure some of you are already giggling, you're already excited, but yeah, I'm actually gonna have a part two of this with another guest or other guests. I haven't really decided how many people I want to talk about this. But it's going to be a guy, so I think we have a different perspective on this issue. So whenever this is finalized, you guys will find out. But today you have me. I just remembered. So what triggered this? Somebody who I saw a wedding update. Somebody who I had, it wasn't even a relationship, so it was a situationship. And I know somebody, I put out a poll recently and people asked questions. I asked people to ask questions about what they wanted me to talk about. And one of them was, I think, navigating situationships. So I'm going to talk on this further when I have the guest, but I'm just going to touch on it now. So regarding this situationship matter, I think it's just one of those things that you have to really apply wisdom and just be able to navigate it efficiently. Okay, now let me get to my gist. So, I recently saw somebody's marriage proposal, and you know, the guy is getting married and all that stuff. And I just remember sort of my experience with this person. So years ago, first of all, one thing about me is I've always been one of those people who has stood by their ground. So if there's something that I hold deeply in my mind, I will stand by it. By the grace of God, for some reason, I've just been able to stand by, you know, my morals. And one of such things at the time was, okay, no sex before marriage. So I wasn't going to do it. There was no amount of pushing. There's no way. You're not as fine. There's no amount of fineness, buffness, muscleness, you know, husky voice, beard, nothing could move me. So this particular guy, he takes me on a date. So we had met in, so if you don't know, I used to be a bit of a party girl when I was in uni. So yeah, that's out there. So I should actually talk about that experience. I might talk about it at the end. So I went to a club that day, I remember. So my friends and I went to the club and, you know, having fun. And then I remember, obviously, girls now, you see someone, you know, one person sees somebody they know, one person in the group sees somebody they know from another group, and maybe that other group, the guys on that group, they have a table, right? So they call us over to the table and, you know, we're having fun. They bring shots. Obviously, I wasn't having any of that, but I was still there. So dancing, having fun. And I remember this funny guy was like, twerk. I say, are you crazy? Me? But yeah, I was just always one of those people who was, they just be like, why are you even here? But I'm like, yeah, I'm here. I'm having fun my own way. You're not going to tell me what to do. Anyway, so I meet one of the other guys in the group. I find out that I knew him from my past. So I knew him from like childhood. So he was my friend's neighbor. Then I was like, oh, I know you. And he's like, oh, I know you. Oh, where do we know each other from? You know, that kind of thing. Then you find out, okay, where you knew each other from. Then you start talking. So I remember we left the club because it was so noisy. We went outside, we're talking, blah, blah, blah. It was giving good vibes, everything. Then he's like, oh, would you like to go on a date with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? So we go out on a date. And then this is where, funny enough, I respect this guy so much just for this. And it's so interesting. I feel like that's probably one of the most memorable dates that I've been on. One of the, obviously, all my dates with my husband are amazing. But I'm saying one of the most memorable because of what happened. So what happens? We go on the date and then, you know, we're talking. The date wasn't really vibey, to be honest. I think the second time meeting, we just realized we're two different people. Anyway, talking, and then it gets to the point of him talking about how I cannot be in a relationship. So he wanted to be in a relationship. So he's one of those firm street guys, straight to the point. So he was talking about how I cannot be in a relationship with a girl and we're not, you know, smashing on a regular basis. So in my head, I'm like, red flag. I'm not doing this. And I literally just stood up from my chair. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I didn't stand up from my chair that day. I just stood up from my chair right now. So I told him then and then, like, oh, well, that's something that it goes against what I believe, and it's just something that I don't do. And he was like, oh, really? Oh, okay, so that's not gonna work out then. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And I remember we finished eating, he paid for the meal, he walked me to the car, got a taxi. I was like, oh no, see you around. Obviously he did not see me around, but the reason why that was such a, I would say, memorable and a big deal for me at the time was because I just thought, if only people were that honest, like if only men were that honest, if only women were that honest in saying, this is what I want, this is what I can offer, this is what I stand for, this is what I don't stand for, it would save so many people of so much stress and so much effort. Because I'd also been in another situation where this particular guy too was dancing around, you know, I know sometimes some men, they know what they're doing. So this particular guy is, I don't even know if they were friends or not, but similar circles anyway. So I don't know, I was just into bad boys then, go for a beat. Thank God I was delivered. So this particular guy too, we met in a similar, I don't even know how we met, I cannot remember how we met, but you know, partying, all these things. Then I remember he came to my house, to my dorm. I was still in uni. Came to my dorm. He was outside, you know, talking. You know, there was something he said, and I should have known then, but I did not pick it up. Remember, he said, you know, I don't know if he said I don't believe in church or I don't believe in God, but I believe in love. Something funny like that. And I was like, I don't know. I didn't pick it up. And these are the things, these clues are there in certain things, like when you know that somebody is not for you, or someone does not align with your things. I know we ask ourselves funny questions, but they've said it already. The people, especially men, because obviously I'm talking to mostly girls on this channel, they are very clear. If you watch, if you see, and I'll share another experience after this, if you see and you listen, you'll see, you'll pick up clues. you pick up, because another thing is to pray, you pick up the clues, because somebody, he will say something. Anyway, so this particular so this particular instance, I'm saying hey because I just remembering the things that I did in the bid of situationship. So okay, so he started that, started, you know, in the beginning it's always hot, like, you know, doing, they're doing the most. I remember he came to my dorm, like I said, he took me to the gym in his house, you know, we're gymming, everything fun, everything nice, you know, that the beginning where everything is so bubbly and nice. And then I don't know where along the lines I just noticed that he stopped becoming, the intensity was not the same. So what's happening, I just realized that he just kept going down and down and down. The guy was just ghosting me. So and I was friends with his friends, and I asked him that, what's happening? I don't understand why this person is behaving this way. Like, you're the person that came for me, you're the person that caught my attention, and now all of a sudden you have just ghosted. Only to find out that, oh, from his friends, that, oh, it's because I wasn't gonna get into the sheets. He decided that, no, I can't do this anymore, but I didn't have the courage to say, and he just kept ghosting, and I was supposed to get the message. First of all, that ghosting thing is so cowardly, because you can just say it. And I know that people will say, oh, you know what, I don't even know the excuse for that, because in my head, if you want to say what you want to say, and maybe you think the person, you will just say it. Do you understand? Just say how you feel. Let people heal, let people grieve, let people be sad and move on. There's no point stringing somebody along because you don't want them to feel bad, or because you're the one that started the chase. Cut it off. Because you're blocking people from seeing their future spouses. Cut it off. You're being very, very selfish and very, very not nice. So this particular guy Sha ghosted me, and I mean, I remember even after the ghosting, I did not get sense. I was still trying, because I just kept, and that's what happens to a lot of us. We just keep remembering the past and keep remembering the chase and keep remembering, ah, he did this, but he did this. Person has already showed you sign. Yes, they were hot in the beginning, but now they're showing you cold signs, but you're still remembering that heat and living in that heat. My sister, I feel for you, I empathize with you, but you need to live in the situation that's currently in front of you. If the person is showing you cold now, and they start giving excuses like, oh, you know, my family is going through a loss. Remember I said his cousin, his brother had kidney this and this. Some of these issues are valid, some of the situations are valid, but at the end of the day, you cannot allow the validity of somebody's situation hold you back. Do you understand? Yes, they're going through something, but that should not be the reason why you should be bound by they are going through, because most of the time when they are done going through what they are going through, they don't want you in sight anymore. They don't want to see you again, except the person is clearly saying, this is what I'm going through, I want you by my side too, you know, which is what most of them will say. It's not that they will ghost you and say, oh, it's not you, it's me, I'm just going through a loss. Once you hear that, my sister, pack up your bags, dust your shoes, prepare your catwalk and walk out of that place. Okay, take your dignity, what's left of it, and leave. Because you will save yourself so much stress. But unfortunately, my gender, we don't like to do that thing. We like to reminisce. We like to remember. We like to... Ugh, girl, as somebody who has been there, it's not worth it. I remember after this situation, after a friend had told me, I went to go and the small pocket money that my parents were giving me, I'm like, hey, I don't know if my mother listens to this podcast, but... The small, this thing that they were giving me, pocket money they were giving me at the time, I carried it. I went to go and buy ingredients. I made a furry, I made jollof rice in the bid to maybe use up. And that's another thing, girls, especially if you're in uni, please stop cooking for men. It is silly. It is stupid. Like, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Nah. If you're cooking now, just... No, continue what you're cooking, but prepare to dish it up for yourself. If you have siblings around you, serve it to them. Don't go and give it to any dirty man, please. Don't. And obviously, I don't mean dirty men as in they're dirty. You get what I'm saying? Because that cooking in uni thing, man, I wish it was just... I remember my friend, Kenisa, she's like, you're cooking? for some reason, I tied my identity or value or worth as a woman into cooking. And I felt like, oh, if I was able to cook for somebody, obviously because I was not giving the other thing, I felt like if I could cook for them, they would, you know, be, they would see me as valuable or they would see me as desirable. So weird. Please, this is not a thing. If you think this way, I know that African culture, some African cultures put us in that mentality, but see, it's not by cooking. I know then you will post on your Instagram, you're like, ah, cooking, yeah, I just really love it. You might not love it though, you're just posting because you want somebody to think that, ah, she's wife material. Is it by cooking? Is it really by cooking? It's not. I can't tell you that for a fact. It is not by cooking. At all. It's not by cooking. If you're a great cook, you like to cook, yeah, but don't use your cooking to lure somebody. Don't use your cooking as an effort to fish for men. It's not gonna work. And you just be like, after all I did for you, that's another thing that women do. You know, say, I gave you everything. I gave you my this. I give you like this. I cook for you, I clean for you. Why? You do not need to. Please stop cleaning. Don't go to anybody's house and you go there and be cleaning every day. You'll be brushing the floor. Please, honey. Especially when there's no clear, defined... when you're in a situationship and you're doing all this to prove to yourself, it's like you're trying to, you know, do... I don't even know. Is it Olympics or exam? You're trying to prove to yourself so that the person deems you worthy. The person deems you valuable. You're already worthy. You're already valuable. So there's no need to be doing Olympics to win somebody's heart. Do you understand? If you want it, if you won his heart. And there's certain things that you would do, but not in a situationship. If the person is not clear about you, it's not your place to do all these many things to be clear. I mean, obviously in relationships, certain actions will make people know that okay, this person is for me, but it's not by cooking, it's not by cleaning. In some cases, maybe. But I think there's sort of a clear line, do you understand, in when you're wasting your time. Because majority of the time, I can assure you, you're just wasting your time. Because you hear so many stories of women and say, oh, I did this, I dated him for 9 years, I cleaned his house, I took care of his mother, I did this. He did not marry her. He did not marry her. As far as I'm concerned, that's a glorified situationship. Nothing. And also the fact that we have sort of glorified marriage and glorified relationships. Yes, we all love, but that goal and that desire has made it an idol that people want to do whatever. And sometimes, you know, I don't really like this guy, but I'm already this age, I'm already that age. What if nobody's going to like me? Or what if, where will I find somebody else? Oh, the streets are tough. Let me just manage like that. Sister, let me tell you something. The streets are tough, yeah, but there's somebody out there for you. There's somebody out there for you that is not going to require you to struggle. You think about some of the women who have the most amazing relationships. They don't struggle like that. I'll be honest, they don't. Some of them might, but I think that when love is reciprocated, struggle is in a way eradicated because it becomes a two-way street. So it's not no longer struggle, it's now more of like a partnership thing. So whatever you're doing, so obviously relationships, you need to put in the work to, you know, to show affection for your partner. You need to put in work, and the person also puts, so it's a mutual thing. But if you're the only person cleaning, cooking, the guy is not responding to your messages, you have already gone to the market in a bid to convince him or to make him happy, or the guy is rude to you, or the guy is, you know, maybe even physically abusive, but you're trying. Sister, just carry your bags, take this as a sign, carry your bags and just go. I remember there was a time when somebody had messaged me about you know, she was in a relationship, she had issues, and the guy was clearly a red flag, but she just felt as though she couldn't leave him because would she find somebody else. And maybe the guy had convinced her that, you know, she wouldn't find somebody else. And I asked her, how old are you? She said, I'm 23. And I thought to myself, yes, 23. At 23, the world is literally your oyster. Like, you have so many
options. There's so many options out there. But I know, I understand that it seems as though there is no option, especially if maybe you're in the circle where, you know, you don't get many people checking you, or you're not a baddie. And I know that baddie syndrome, like, there's a certain kind of group of girls that are baddies. Those ones, no shaking. They always be playing their games. But then there's another majority of girls who are not necessarily baddies. We're just, you know, normal average girls, you know, beautiful, quiet, timid, working, and all that. Obviously, baddies to work. Please, nobody come attack me. baddies are, they're working hard. But what I'm saying is, there's another group of girls who are just, you know, average or everyday girls. And we, you know, we might not get as much as attention. Things seem to be a bit more difficult because you're like, ah, gosh. So this person asked me out now. Oh, nobody's asking you out. And the one person that asks you out is not a funny guy. And you just feel, okay, let me just try to meet up to this person's standards. And it's never really worth it at the end. As someone who has been in many situationships, like, I feel like majority of my dating life was situationships. Nobody ever really committed. Maybe only... I can't even remember how many people actually committed. I know, obviously, my husband committed. But then, maybe there was one person before that when I was in secondary school. But majority of the times, for some reason, was just situationship after situationship. Now, the last one I'm going to share, this one, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to, was a Christian brother. He was in church. He was in church with us. He was in church with me. And I think the stronghold on this particular relationship was so strong because of this reason. Because I felt like if I'm meeting this person in church, he has to be perfect. Like, it was so bad, and I'm so ashamed to say this, but I remember that there were times where I would literally lay flat on the floor and pray for God to open my eyes, open his eyes to see that I was the one for him. Oh my God, that is so embarrassing. Like, that is so shameful. That is so shameful and embarrassing. But yeah, anyway, we were delivered from that ghetto. So I remember this particular guy. So we had met in church, and what happened now? So I don't even know what I saw in him, or I just thought, because everybody else, I remember my mom and I were pretty close, and I had told her about this person. I remember when she saw him, she was like, is this the one? So most people did not necessarily see what I saw in him, but for some reason, I mean, obviously relationships are that way. You just see somebody and you just see something in them. So anyway, I just really thought this guy was the best thing since sliced bread. Like, I just thought he was everything. But he had a nasty attitude. Like, he had anger issues, and he would just switch. But because he was in church, I sort of prioritized the whole Christian factor above what I was actually seeing. So, and that's what a lot of us do. We see the person, we see the fact that they're in church, we see that the fact that they're tongue speaking, but we don't actually measure up the fruits. So we allow the person and the image to cloud our judgment for what the fruit is actually giving. So the package is nice, but what is inside the package is not so nice. But you're focused on the package because the package looks good. Meanwhile, what you're getting from inside the package is not great. So we just started. I'm not going to put too much detail. Say too much detail so that this person is not exposed. But basically, we're in the same church. We work very closely together because I became fully church committed, fully committed to church, and fully committed to church. And then, anyway, I started, you know, working in church and stuff like that. Then this person was also working, so we started working together closely. Anyway, so I caught feelings, and I remember he would talk to me for hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, hours. And it was crazy because at that moment I was like, wow, like, I have my credits to finish. I'll go and buy more credits, and I'll just be talking. He will buy more credit, and we're just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking for hours. And this went on for almost, I can't remember how long it went up for, but it went up for a bit. But one of the things that I noticed, first of all, was he would only talk to me when he wanted to talk to me, not when I wanted to talk to him. So, you know, if you're talking to somebody for hours, first of all, the weird thing was it was only on certain days, right? So if he talks to me whenever he wants to talk to me, it's fine. But if I called him out of the blues, he probably wouldn't answer. Or if I drop a message to check in, he'll flare up like, what do you mean? I remember there was a particular day where he was like, why would you call me on a Wednesday? I don't understand who speaks to somebody and who's checking up on people on a Wednesday evening. Like, I don't get it. And he was really upset because he couldn't understand why I was calling him on a Wednesday evening to ask him how he was doing. Very weird. But it was a thing. It was really a thing. I should have caught the red flag there. Did I catch it? No, I didn't. My coconut head continued. So I continued. That was the first one. Then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But it would be great because he'll come when he wants to come and speak for 3 hours and all the sins are washed away. Then something else happens and we'll fight. Sometimes I'll be crying. And I'm just like, I remember my roommate at the time was just like, what is happening? She was just so confused because sometimes I'm literally just crying because this person has upset me. And next thing I'm talking to this person, next thing I'm just so obsessed. I was obsessed. I don't even know if he was in love, but I was just so enamored by this guy. I just really liked it so much. And then, to cut the long story short, when did the scales start to fall off from my eyes? I remember after all these years, I remember, so there was a girl who he had previously liked, who was also still in church. But I mean, she had left him because obviously the toxic behavior. But he was still sort of obsessed with her for some reason. It was just really strange. So I'd seen that one too. But I was still trying to, you know, use my corner to find a way to enter. I remember we went for an event one time and then I made fried rice at the event. It was a church youth event and I made food at the event and I was trying my best. You know, I was cooking, sweating, trying to do wifey things. And I remember he ate the rice. The rice is so hard. I made a joke about how I don't know how to cook rice. The girls of nowadays don't know how to cook rice. How embarrassing. But yeah, I still did not give up after that too. I still continued. So when did the scales fall off my eyes? I did many things, like many things. So two things that made the scale fall off my eyes. And I don't know which happened first. But the first one that happened, well, one of the two, I can't remember the order. But okay, let me say the least dramatic one first. So he had said that... what happened that day? Okay, so we're talking. He was talking about how this somebody has gone, that doesn't talk to me every day. Doesn't see me every day. He only used to see me on 2 days, which is church days. And maybe we've had some youth events. So that particular day, we're on the phone, as usual. And he was talking about how, do you know what it means for a guy? He said, if a guy is truly in love with a girl, he will not be able to sleep if he has not seen her that day. I say, eh? But you have not seen me in a few days. That was when I was like, okay, it still didn't click to me, but I definitely did register that in my mind, like, okay, so this guy is just using me. Funny thing is, I don't even know what it was. It was a very weird situation. Then what happened next? I remember he didn't take me out safe. We had gone out prior as well. So anyway, it was really weird. Then second situation, it came to my mind, I forgot it. Okay, so the last situation, okay, so I was gonna say two, but I remember the third one. Then I just skipped my mind. So this particular situation that broke the camel's back, guys, I will never forget this experience in my life. Now I don't remember the detail, but I'll tell you. So that particular day, he had messaged me and said, oh, you know, he was so sick. And, you know, I have a flu. He called me 3 times, or we've spoken 3 times, and he just kept emphasizing how he was ill. He wasn't able to do something or do anything. Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I'm so sick. So in my mind, by the third time, I took it as a cue as, oh, this person is my friend. Or obviously I have a crush on this person. Let me go and do something. I was unemployed at the time. I barely had any money. I left my house. I mean, he didn't used to live far from me. I left my house. I took a taxi. No, first of all, I left my house. I went to the grocery store. I bought fruits, citrus, tea, many things that I could not afford. I carried it. I carried taxi. I went to his house. I went to his apartment building. I didn't go up to his house. So I went to his apartment building. I tried to call him, He didn't answer. Even though we had spoken previously, he didn't answer. So I now dropped the package that I brought at the reception, and I just put his apartment number, and I just told him it's for this apartment. So if he was not around, when he's around, you pick it up, or they will just drop it up for him. That's how I remember I slept, and I woke up the next day, 6 a.m. I received the insult, the biggest insult of my life. He sent the nastiest message. I can't even remember this message. It was so gruesome. Something about how even the closest people in his life do not overstep their boundaries and come to his house or something. It was really nasty. I can't even remember the detail. I remember saying it's a friend of mine. He was like, I think this guy is sick in the head. Oh my god. Oh, I'm just remembering, like, having memories, and it was bad. It was really nasty. Like, I remember I woke up with my heart in my throat because I was just like, what is this nasty message? Very nasty. And I just deleted it. Like, I think afterwards, I think I saved it for a bit, and then maybe I said sorry, but I just left it, and I was just like, whatever. And I think I saw him after that, and that was when things sort of began to simmer down. And I don't remember if I continued the friendship or not, but I know that things sort of began to simmer. Then he had announced that, you know, he was leaving the church for whatever reason, because we had changed pastors, and for some reason he was, hey, okay, I'll just stop you there because I feel like I put too much detail in this. Anyway, sure. So that was the end. So he departed, and I think that was the beginning of my salvation from that relationship. I was saved because it was really nasty. Like, and at the end of the day, I put myself in that situation because I just couldn't. Like, the guy, I remember we had meetings, and he would just vex. Like, I would say something, and he would just like vex and just change, and people would just be around like, what is happening? Like, this guy is so. He would just go from normal to angry in the space of seconds. Like, the moment I remove my glasses, you know what happens when I remove my glasses. And I'll just be there like, oh, sorry. And I'm just like, thinking back, I'm like, what the hell was I doing there? Like, but again, it was because I kept thinking about the good times. I kept thinking about, okay, you know, oh God, I remember what he got for my birthday present. He got me the most random birthday present ever. I even left it in the house that I was living. It got me it was a big box. I was like, oh my God, I was so happy. It was literally, I'm sure it was one of those things that he had in his house that he wasn't using. It was a speaker. You know those olden days speakers that have the, like, I don't even know what kind of speaker. Those box-like speakers that are for, like, computers or whatever. I don't even know what it was, but it was some funny speaker. And me, I didn't tell him he's listening to music or whatever, but I think he just found something in his house he wasn't using and wrapped it up and then brought it for me. And a friend of mine asked me, oh, what did he get for you? And I was like, I had to, you know, PR babe now. I started packaging it and I said, oh no, it's a luxury sound system. Shame on me. Once beaten, I was not shy. Twice beaten, I still did not remain shy. I needed plenty decking. But yeah, thank God. I really thank God for deliverance, because yeah, that was terrible. I remember praying and just praying that God please. And it's like, so many of us are in this situation. This is probably my longest episode. So many of us are in this situations where we're just praying for God to keep us with somebody, bind us with somebody, you know, make the situationship solid. Meanwhile, there's no need. If you actually open your eyes and find your self-worth, and that's where the issue is in self-worth. I don't think that my self I had enough self-worth to remove myself from that situation. But you need to get self-worth, because you save yourself from insults, number one. And that's big enough. You save your dignity, because looking back, I did not need to be in any of the situations. I really did not need to be in those situations. And that's why I really appreciated the situation that I first mentioned with this first guy. And that's why I will forever respect him, because he said, this is me. This is what I want. I said, me. This is me. This is what I want. And this is what I'm not going to do. And it was a thing of, oh, well, it can't work. This is great. It's been great talking to you. I had a great time catching up. And we parted ways. Very nice, very friendly. Do you get? And, you know, would occasionally catch up. Because person is like, it's a club promoter. Big club promoter in Lagos at the moment. So, I mean, obviously, I don't go to the club. Oh, Jesus. I don't go to the club. But I'm saying that this is he's a notable figure. But this is somebody that I just really respected the fact that he was able to respect me and take it in good faith. Do you get? I don't know if that makes sense, but I respect him so much. Anyway, so yeah, this was just my take on situationships. And I remember, so from the, I say I remember a lot. Anyway, from the Q&A that I asked, so I think I've just touched on two things. So somebody had said I should share a bit of an experience from like growing up, and I think this is an experience that I just shared. Then someone had also spoken about situationships, so I think I've just, you know, hit two birds with one stone, talking about situationships and talking about a bit of my life and what I've experienced. So girls, have you ever experienced a situationship? Are you in a situationship? Do you want me to talk to you? Do you want to lay hands on you? Do you want deliverance? Message me. TONI_tones. Let's chat about it. All right. I love hearing from you guys. So please tag, share, do what you must. Let other people hear as well. And I really do appreciate all the posts. Like, I see people, you know, talk about their favorite Christian podcast and they add me, add this podcast. It's amazing. Thank you so much. I really, 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 really do appreciate all you guys for all the tags, for all the love. Thank you so much for everything. And thank you for listening to this. Hey, I said listening. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It has been an amazing time. I am your host, Toni Sani. Have a great week. Cheers to you, Blooming Girl. See you next week.